Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Dance by Laurie Winer, starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. After a hard day in the office, there's nothing a man likes more than to talk over the interesting things that have happened at work once he gets home to his wife, a masculine desire which is doomed to failure in the case of Captain Povey. When he gets home, he can never get a word in edge or any other way. Nevertheless, this doesn't stop him from trying, and tonight he's got something really interesting to tell his romance.
Henry Purvey, remove your grubby digit from my doorbell at once.
Oh, I have my
lock.
The little button got stuck.
A likely story. Ringing my doorbell once is quite enough. I'm not having you running up the electricity bill with extra ding-dongs. Just so that you can play tunes on it. Right, now stand up straight, eyes front, smartly to attention now. Stand by for inspection to see if you're a sufficiently tidy boy to enter.
Oh, I am, my love. I was particularly careful to...
Turn wrong. Let's have a look at the back view.
Oh, well, I have...
Henry Purvey, I am ashamed. You've been at it again, haven't you?
I beg your pardon?
You've been polishing your shoes by wiping them on the back of your trousers. Lower garment.
I'm sorry, my love, but I thought you'd rather I wipe them on my trousers.
Henry?
Lower garment. Then arrive home with dusty toucan.
Well, I see. Well, in future you can carry your shoes and just put them on when you get to the front door.
Very well, my love. Now, could I have my delicious Ramona-cooked supper? I'm starving.
Well, that's hardly my fault, is it? I prepared a delicious sardine for you last night, but you wasted it by coming in at all hours.
All hours? I was here at 6:01.
Don't you take that tone with me. From your office to the front doorstep, it's 763 yards, 2 feet, 6 inches. Your pace is 2 feet, 9 inches. That means that 833 paces is the rate of 1.5 paces per second, could take 9 minutes, 15 seconds. You leave your office at 6:10, which means that you have a whole 45 seconds in hand if you wish to do it. Last night, you were 1:45 late before you ding-donged on my bell. Now, I demand to know where you were.
Oh, I had a few pints with the boys, and then we went on to a strip club with a couple of girls who took us back to their place for a nightcap afterwards.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
In 1 minute...
And 45 seconds. Now then, let's have the truth. I demand to know where you were last night.
Well, I tried to tell you then, my love. Just as I left the dockyard, my shoelace came undone, so I had to stop and tie it up again.
For 1:45, if you were going to be as late as that, you might at least have telephoned. As punishment, you can have last night's delicious Ramona cooked sardines for your supper tonight.
Couldn't I have something else, my love? That sardine will be all dried up.
Certainly not. If it is dry, you have my permission to give it 2 quick squirts of the tin of penetrating oil under the stove.
Thank you, my love. I don't think I'll bother.
Good boy. Waste not, want not. Now then, what have you and your little sailor friends been doing with your boat today?
Oh, just routine, dear. There's an important exercise coming up next week, but other than that... Oh, yes, there is one thing. You know Lieutenant Murray, the number one of Trustbridge.
Shall I ever forget?
Earlier today, I opened the door to my outer office, and I caught him and my secretary, Wren Chasen.
Henry?
Just chatting, my love. They were only chatting.
Hmm. I always said that office of yours was a den of vice.
Oh, yes, it was.
What?
I was just saying, I only wish it was not to disturb them, my love. From what I heard, I gathered they're well, there.
Henry Purvey, if you are about to be disgusted, I shall send you to bed without your sardines. And you won't have your Sunday afternoon buttered crumpets either.
Nothing like that, my love. I merely meant that it looks as if Mr. Murray and Wren Chasen are getting together.
So I gather.
Yeah, but unfortunately, from what I heard, it rather looks as if Lieutenant Murray won't take yes for an answer.
Really? Permission granted to answer telephone. It's probably one of your little sailor friends, and I'm too busy to be bothered with them. I must go and dust your sardines.
Yes, oh, thank you. Hello, Captain Povey.
So you ought to be. This is the Admiral. Now, sloped off from your office a bit early this evening, didn't you?
No. Perhaps a couple of minutes, sir.
I nipped off with a couple of birds from the strip club, I suppose. I say, Maisie's a corker, isn't she? How abandoned can you get?
But I must protest.
No, you mustn't. I'm talking. Now, about this refueling exercise next week. It's cancelled. It starts tomorrow instead.
Oh, good grief.
Don't interrupt Povey. There's a good chap. We need a frigate to take part tomorrow. What have you got?
Well, sir, there's only...
That's what I was afraid of. Trout bridge. Well, can't we help? Tell the fools to stand by to put to sea at midnight tomorrow night and rendezvous with the tanker, the Admiral Drake, at 0400 the next morning.
Aye, aye, sir.
And as it's them, I intend to sleep as far inland as possible. Goodbye.
It's going to be a nice night for a sail, Chief.
Provided what is not fussy where what is going to, yes. As for me, I don't like it. No, not at all, I don't. I don't like it. The old project is on the mini now.
What's all the panic about, Chief? It's just an exercise. With the loss of so many land bases, we've just got to make sure that we can refuel at sea.
I'm well aware, sir, that is the story the rollicking lordships have put about, but I'm not so sure.
What do you mean?
Supposing it's not that at all, sir. Supposing that they're sending us miles and miles out into the blue. And the only way we could possibly get back is to send something else out to lend us a gallon or two.
But even so...
Supposing they don't bother to send anybody out with a gallon or two. We'll be out there, sir. We'll be out there in the midst of nowhere. Oilless. Oilless and forgotten.
What? They wouldn't do that. Would they?
You've heard something. You're frightened to tell Pertwee.
No, of course I am. You know me. Nobody tells Leslie anything.
Well, there's not much point, is there? 10 minutes later, you've forgotten me.
My reputation gets around, doesn't it?
You mark my words that after this trip, you won't have a reputation.
Eh?
You'll be a legend.
Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, the doomed and lost navigator.
Well, if that's my legend, it's the same as my reputation.
I don't like it.
I'm not mad about it either, eh?
I met this exercise, so-called.
Why ever not? It should be fun. Sailing out into the middle of the night to look for a tanker so that we can collect just enough fuel to get back to port. I don't think I like it either.
It's a plot.
What?
A plot. We're going to be abandoned on the hay seas when all three had fled.
Oh, nonsense. The Admiral and Captain Povey wouldn't do a thing like that. I think I shall try to sick leave.
It's too late, sir. Already have and there isn't any.
I think I better have a word with number one and see if he knows anything more.
You've had that study thought even a bull.
Well, he must be. We're sailing tonight at midnight.
Last thing, sir, Mr. Murray was heading for Captain Povey's outer office. An attendo short, sharp chat with Ren Shape.
Hello, Heather. Only me again.
Again is right. Stephen, this is the third time you've called today.
Oh, you've been counting. How delightful.
Well, I'm awfully sorry, but I can't stop now. I've just finished for the day, and I'm on my way back to the Renfort.
Oh, the one place in Portsmouth where the white man has never set foot.
Well, not officially, no.
You heard the news that we're sailing at midnight, I gather?
Strangely enough, yes. Captain Povey told me at 9:30 this morning. You told me at 12 and at 4:30.
I see. Obviously, it doesn't mean anything to you.
Well, of course it does. It meant a stack of work all day.
No, I mean, it didn't seem to mean anything more personal to you. The fact that I'll be out there braving the elements and the hazards of the cruel sea.
It's a flat calm.
Here and now, perhaps, but out there where we're going, who knows? Heather, my dear, we may not see each other again.
Good gracious, are you getting a dessert?
I don't think I'm saying this very well. I mean, there's no certainty that we'll get back from this refueling exercise. I mean, one lighted cigarette, one match carelessly thrown away, and...
In that case, you'd better not smoke, dear.
I'll try again. Heather, I realize this is hardly the time, but there's not much left, so it's Now or never.
What is?
I knew you of all people would understand. If the suggestion is too much of an imposition, you've only to say I shan't be in the slightest bit offended, but there are times when a man must speak his thoughts. And it's with this thought in mind that I've found the courage and temerity to consider asking you. If it hadn't been for this call of duty, I'd have remained silent in the hope of receiving some small sign from you, but as it is, time is not on my side. You can't ask me to leave without knowing one way or the other. And if it's the other, I'd rather know. All I'm trying to say is...
Yes?
No, don't answer now. I'll go outside for a while and you can think about it. It's not fair of me to try to rush you into a thing like this. The last thing I want is for you to act out of pity. This is much more serious than that. Don't think I don't realize that there's a great deal to be discussed, and a thing like this won't involve you in any way, but it'll make an honest sailor happy.
Stephen!
You'll say no more. It's obviously too much to ask.
What one?
Oh, didn't I tell you?
Well, if you did, I missed it.
Well, it hardly matters now. I merely hope that you might find it in your heart to come out to dinner with me as a farewell meeting before we sail.
Oh, yes, I'd love to.
Now, don't say something you'll regret.
I'm not. I said I'd love to.
I know you did, and it was sweet of you. It would have been so easy for me to hold you to that promise, but I don't want there to be any mistakes. I want you to have time to think.
But I have thought.
You are, but have you thought long enough?
Yes, I want to go out to dinner.
You do?
Yes, I'm starving.
Well, I mustn't keep you any longer.
Oh, well, really? Well,
you just have to make it some other time.
But I...
Perhaps the night we get back, provided we do get back, of course.
But
it's nice of you to think of putting off your other dinner engagement just for me, but it's asking too much.
What?
See you soon, Heather.
Well, that was the nicest meal I ever nearly had.
Now then, with the wind at 4 o'clock in the morning and a following tide of give or take a knot or two, and after allowing for 2% error in League Division One after extra time, plus a magnetic bearing of 4 and 6 a yard, I beg we take a chance on it and give her a bit of the old left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit, it is, sir. I take it you're navigating by the stars.
No, rather. I read them in the evening papers, just before we sailed. According to Madame Romany Rosie, it's a good time for chance meetings and bumping into people.
That's not quite what I meant, sir. We're dodging up in the daytime and letting us sail about in the dark is downright dangerous.
Jolly romantic, though, isn't it? Gliding along with the moonbeams dancing on the water, gentle sea breezes blowing through your hair.
I don't think our nautical Lothario is with us yet. Mr. Murray, sir. Item one, sir. There isn't any moon. Item two, you've got your hat on. And as this is a closed bridge, you wouldn't be able to cop a bonk full of wind anyway.
Oh. Well, of course, if you're going to be a stickler for detail. Bridge number one speaking.
Starboard lookout here, sir. Leading seaman Goldstein, captain. Shocking darkness. It's like being down a mine. Not that there's anything wrong with that, of course, as long as it's a Welsh mine.
Now, Goldstein,
stuff, you know, Welsh coal. I mean, for one thing, if the British had stuck to running their boats on good Welsh coal instead of this stinking oil muck, we wouldn't be messing about out here now, would we? Leastways, I suppose you could refuel a sea with coal if they chucked it across to us one lump at a time.
Goldstein, what do you want?
Home rule.
Over the years, we've gathered that.
Goldstein, is there any sign of that refueling tanker yet?
Oh, I couldn't say, sir. Being an oil tanker, it's against my principles to look.
You better put your principles aside, because we've only got a small amount of fuel left, and if we don't get refueled soon, we'll come to a complete stop.
It's hardly my fault, is it, sir? I always said oil was unreliable, Mac.
Goldstein!
Don't bother, sir. By now he's pacing Cardiff and bowing 3 times.
Oh, hello, you chap. Lovely night for a bit of a float about.
Hello, Padre.
Oh, so fine. My very best worn, of course. Just thought I'd pop up to the bridge for a quick butcher. And the wondrous sight of the mighty ocean as it stretches about before us and surges about beneath us.
With due respect, Padre, it's pitchest blackest and flattest calmest.
So it is it. However, in life's daily round, one cannot win them all.
Actually, it's the nightly round I'm worried about. I can't see a thing.
Take courage, old chap. When one is wandering in the watery wilderness, one must settle for being one's own philosopher.
Well, very possibly, Cartwright, but right now I'd swap three philosophers for one good navigating officer.
And wouldn't we all...
Well, really, it's a bit much. I know exactly where we are. Who was it who went to Dartmouth for 3 weeks? And who was it who passed a navigation course with flying colours? Hmm? All right, so it was young Trotter Perkins. Beastly little swat. I didn't do too badly, though. I was 15th in the class, you know.
And how many were there in your class?
13, actually. That's beside the point. The fact is, I know precisely where we are and the course we took to get here. I'm not just a pretty face, you know.
No, you're not, are you?
I should ignore that. I just want it clearly understood that I'm perfectly capable of navigating by the stars.
How absolutely splendid for you. I have no doubt that we shall proceed on our way, rejoicing in the knowledge that we're in the capable hands of Mr. Phillips. So kind. Furthermore, let it be said that I have every confidence that he will take us swiftly as the arrow from the bow directly onto the tanker, so that our bunkers may be replenished in their hour of need. Hour of need.
Quite well, if you don't mind, Padre, we are rather busy out here at the moment.
Oh, but of course, things to do and all that. My word, they do keep you a splendid fellow here on the jet. Good gracious. Are we passing Canterbury?
Look. Padre, that was 8 bells. It's 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock? Heath, that's the time we should rendezvous with the tanker.
Not on time.
Hey! Hey, you bloody great slut! Look what you've done to my bulwark!
I beg his pardon.
I have a feeling that I'd better leave. So, regards to all.
Regards to all.
So kind.
Oi! You bumped your sharp head up my stomach.
Oh, nasty.
Find out if she's the tanker we're looking for.
Right. Ahoy there, Mr. Tanker Captain. This is HMS Troubridge. Who are you?
Well, what's left of us is a tanker.
A what?
A tanker.
Mummy, I did it. I found the right place. I say, I am proud.
Give the loud hailer to me.
Ahoy there, Mr. Tanker, Captain. Stand by to refueler.
Pardon?
Send your pipeline across so we can refuel.
Tell you a what?
Don't argue. Send that pipeline across and pump in 100 tons.
Yeah, Arnold. Did you hear that? I want to refuel with 100 tons of our cargo.
Well, of all the rotted things, I'll get blotted out now. Now there, honorable.
If you've got honorable boys, Arnold.
Never mind about Arnold. Get on with it. Send your pipeline across.
Well, all right, mate, if you're in shape, we'll be doing a bit more freeboard after the way you started. 100 tons. Have it approved.
Hot line let go! And nipping back to the tanker like an overfed snake, sir.
Good. Stand by to return to Portsmouth, Mr. Phillips.
Aye, aye, sir.
Full ahead boat.
A full ahead boat, Chief.
Full ahead boat, Chief, sir.
Well, I must say, I never expected this exercise to go off so well.
What on earth?
Bridge here?
Engine room here, sir. Lieutenant Krieg down here. At least I think that's where I am. I have a feeling we have a slight problem on our hands, sir.
Mr. Krieg, why are we stopped?
Ah, you might well ask. You might well ask, sir. And as you have, I might tell you. At least I would if I had the faintest idea myself. Unfortunately, the lad who understands all the mechanical gubbins or whatever they are down here, he's had to nip out again for the moment.
Oh, not again. Yeah. What's the matter with him this time?
Well, it's awfully difficult to say, sir, really. I mean, we've only just got him back from the onion soup. So there's hardly been any interval at all. I only know that when we meet now, we meet as strangers. Whenever he comes back from wherever it is, he has to keep going.
Never mind the lad. What's happened now?
Ah, well, there you have it, you see. Or to be more precise, you've had it. I mean, I don't know what it was you just refueled us with, but it most certainly wasn't oil.
What?
I mean, I'm the last to complain, but if I'm not mistaken, we've just collected 100 tons of molasses in our bunker.
Molasses?
That's what I said, sir. Yes, molasses. It just occurred to me that we may have rendezvoused with the wrong tanker.
Oh, no!
It's just a theory of mine, of course, but there's something terribly cockeyed somewhere, sir. I mean, if you want any of that full ahead boat nonsense, there's not much we can do about it, sir. On the other hand, since we tried to run on this stuff, the engines do seem to be making the most wonderful treacle toffee, sir. It's pouring out everywhere, sir. That's what's happened to the lad, as a matter of fact. He insisted on trying it, and seems to have proved a sight too powerful for the little chap. I have a nasty feeling there may have been a few dregs of diesel oil left in the tank. Although I doubt if the lad has any by now. He popped back, as the expression is. He popped back a minute or two ago, and I looked that hurt. You never credit it. You never credit it.
Mr. Krieg, are you telling me that our oil bunkers are full of molasses?
I'm afraid that's what I'm telling you, sir, yeah. If you'd care to look up the funnel, I think you'll find it's not smoke we're discharging at all. It's a battleship grey candy floss. It's awfully appetizing if you're in the mood, of course, but it's not exactly getting us anywhere, is it?
No, Mr. Krieg, it isn't.
Well, we all have our problems, don't we, sir? I mean, the lad certainly has at the moment. He likes his licorice all sorts, but there must have been one sort in this lot that did no sort of good cause.
Thank you very much, Mr. Krieg. I know when we're beaten. All right, Chief, tell the WT room to signal Captain Povey for a tow back. It'll save time in the long run.
Captain Turban?
The three little sugar plum fairies are here, sir.
What?
Minty Murray, Fruit Gum Phillips, and Pear Drop Perkins.
Very well. Send the bag of them in.
Aye, sir.
Hello, sir. Lovely day.
From me, gentlemen. Yes, it most certainly is.
Oh, you've really done it this time, haven't you?
We had a feeling we had.
I would like to point out, sir, that if I'd been granted compassionate leave as requested, I wouldn't have been there in the first place, and therefore I wouldn't have had anything to do with it, sir.
Oh, quite. But you were there, Chief. So along with everyone else. Hard luck.
Oh, I've been waiting a long time for this day to dawn. You won't wriggle out of it this time.
Oh, filling your ship with molasses. Oh, I'm going to throw the book at you. And this time it's going to stick. Page by page.
By the time this is over, we're going to look like nautical flypaper.
I would like to point out, sir, that there was a slight error somewhere.
Oh, yes, yes, go on.
And you, Nathan. You wish you'd stop enjoying.
I do wish you'd stop enjoying this so much, sir. Our ship's like a seagoing jumbo-sized lollipop.
Yes, she is, isn't she? Yes. Well, when you've all been reduced to the ranks, you'll have the pleasure of cleaning her up, won't you?
Reduced to the ranks?
Oh, it's a court-martial all round this time, gentlemen. I've been preparing all the papers ever since I heard.
How terribly, terribly efficient.
Now, don't get out of my way, woman. I am the Admiral.
Well, I realize that, sir, but Captain Povey is...
Povey, where's Trudbridge?
Yes, that's what the Admiral wants to know. A simple question. Sharp and to the point at all times. That's what's needed...
Right, Lieutenant.
Sir, shut up. Up, shut at once, sir. Not another word, sir. My lips are sealed, sir. Silence is golden, so I shan't say another
word.
Go
on, the crow's nest. I do get them, don't I? Povey, about this blasted refueling exercise, where is Trudbridge?
Well, sir, in a manner of speaking, they seem to have found the whole project a bit sticky.
Phoebe, this is not a laughing matter. Troutbridge is in your flotilla. She's your responsibility. Did she or did she not rendezvous with his blasted tanker, the Sir Walter Raleigh, last night?
Well, they got slightly... What name did you say?
Got cloth ears or something? The Sir Walter Raleigh, of course.
Well, Miss Judith Spectre, you told me they were to rendezvous with a tanker called the Admiral Drake.
Drake Raleigh? Who cares? It was some Elizabethan twit. I just had an urgent signal from Whitehall, Phoebe. Some fool dropped the most ghastly clangor, as usual. Apparently, there's been some mess-up. And the Sir Walter Raleigh isn't carrying oil at all. She's full of molasses. Now, what's been worrying me is that these fools on Troutbridge are quite capable of filling their tanks up with the muck.
Oh, well, really?
As if we would. Well, that's all. Send Troutbridge a signal to scrub the whole thing, will you? Oh, and as they left with only just enough fuel to reach the rendezvous, you better send some other ship to tow her in, will you? I'll authorize it. Right, that's it. I'm off. Who are these idiots?
So we're the crew of Troutbridge. Oh! I'm going to be put for it. Just in time, too.
Oh, well, never mind. We'll meet some other time.
Oh, I could cry.
I really could. I could cry. I have a lot of you on toast. And now some idiot at Whitehall has let you off the hook.
Well, sir, I've always said they have their uses.
All the same, I still intend to get you the next...
Hello, now what?
Henry, Phoebe, don't you take that tone with me.
Don't grieve, it's my wife.
Have you any idea of the time?
Time? Well, it's only 6:02, my love. I should be leaving the... Oh, dear.
I'll give you, oh, dear. Henry Purvey, I demand to know what's been going on down there. I suppose you're playing peeping Tom through your keyhole at that girl in size 9 dirty boots having a frog. Well, you can just forget all about that triangle of processed cheese I promised you was sweet for your supper tonight. The cat had it. I'm not clearing over a hot stove all day, you've been...
Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee have been gunning up the works of the Navy Dock, written by Laurie White. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Povey was Heather Chasen, the Admiral was Kenny Evans, the Padre was Michael Bates, and Lieutenant Queeg was played by Ronnie Barker. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.
John Pertwee is now appearing in There's a Girl in My Soup at the Globe Theatre, London. Oh, by the way, some listeners appear to have thought that Chick Murray, the well-known Scottish comedian, is playing the part of Lieutenant Queeg in this series. Well, in fact, he's not. The part of Lieutenant Queeg is just another of the many voices of Ronnie Barker.